Hello, everyone.
Blog
This is
Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone. This is Sergeant Gonzalez Duran, Vet Talk, Open Discussion. I know it's been a while, but I'm glad to be back. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Mount Nebo Grand Lodge Community Foundation and the Patriot Nation Radio, for giving us this opportunity to share with the community. Today's guests are Warren and Wahida. Thank you for joining us. Warren, do you want to say anything about yourself?
Well, Native American from Brooklyn, civilian.
Wahida?
Hi, I'm Wahida. I'm also Native from Brooklyn, Native New Yorker. I'm a grad student and excited to be here.
I'm glad. Thank you so much. So, an open discussion, we have a few topics that we pick at random, and we start talking about them. You know, this is a constructive dialogue. So whatever you share, let the other person finish, and let's not take things too hard, okay? I don't want to have any fights here today, okay?
No promises.
Okay, so first discussion, let's see what we're going to pick. Mental health, that's the main topic. That's something that we at Double Dog USA take very serious, you know, with the 22 veteran suicide a day. I myself have had three veterans that I knew commit suicide last year. And because of that, we started the campaign, hashtag End the Stigma. We write weekly articles. We do our best to try to make awareness of the suicide and the mental health progress in the community. If you would like to read any of the articles, you can go to www.devildogusa.org. The articles are posted weekly. And, I like to start this by saying I myself have contributed to the first article, with my conditions being social anxiety, and I have been issues with my skin. Those contributed to making me feel uncomfortable publicly. A lot of people say, well, Gonzalo, if you're so adamant with like public speaking, interviews, hosting, et cetera, then how can you have social anxiety? Well, for me, it's taken a long time to get to this point. And because of that, I've had a lot of bumps in the road. But I work at it, I push forward, and look at me now hosting the talk show. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Please hold the applause. What do you guys would like to share, if anything, regarding mental health?
Well, full disclosure, I will say I also suffer from social anxiety. It's been bothering me since I was young, and back then you would just call it, oh, he's shy. There were times when I felt very uncomfortable about public speaking, particularly as a child. Grown ups who introduce you to other grown ups, you have no say in the matter. You're just like, hey, this is so and so, say hello. Yeah. And you're forced essentially to say hello to this person, looking up at this person that you don't know. And anxiety, sometimes I not said anything, which was considered rude. And sometimes, these adults in question would get very upset at a child. There was that. As I got older, it didn't bother me as much, mainly because I stopped really caring about what other people think. I still have episodes every now and then. If I'm at a function or just in a crowd in general. You know, if I go to a gathering or party or something like that, you know, it really depends on the vibe of the room, if the people are welcoming. You know, it doesn't bother me as much if it's a situation where, you know, you go somewhere and you don't necessarily know anybody or not enough people. And, you know, sometimes everybody, you know, everybody knows each other and it gets kind of cliquish. It's not always a fun environment.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Do you want to comment on anything?
I think mental health needs a lot more attention than it is getting. Most fields and professions and school environments are very fast-paced, intense, and mental health isn't given the attention that it should be given. Most people still have the mentality of just like sucking it up, deal with it, and, you know, move on with it. Therapists in New York City are very expensive. Some of them can charge up to $200 an hour. Even with insurance, you may be paying a very hefty fee just to see a therapist to take care of your mental health, which to me seems very, I don't want to say outrageous, but outrageous. Everyone needs mental health services. Everyone needs someone to talk through the issues and thoughts they have in their heads. And seeing a therapist shouldn't be so, so expensive. There should be more. It's not enough to simply say, let's have awareness about mental health, but to put in actions and plans into helping a person have a healthy mental health, as opposed to just saying, oh, okay, mental health is something that we're giving attention to. Okay, but what are we doing about it? So I think there's a ton more work that can be done to care for each and every person's mental health.
Thank you. That's pretty detailed.
I just want to like add to that. Therapy is expensive. I mean, fortunately, there are, you know, dabs and programs that, you know, offer other avenues of mental health at a lower price. And I also will say for people who are seeking therapy or are in therapy, if your therapist does not acknowledge your feelings, not, you know, really listening to you, then, you should seek out another therapist. I'm not sure works, because I understand that, you know, a lot of therapy is covered by people's insurance. So I'm not sure how that works in terms of, like, switching therapists, but I do think it's important if you're going to, you know, if you're relying on this person to help you feel, for lack of a better term, feel better. That's not the great term, but make you better. I'm not sure if that's even better. If you're looking for somebody that's trying to help you and you feel that that person is not helping you, then you're within your rights to find someone else. I mean, not every therapist, your first therapist isn't always the best fit. You have to find someone that actually, like, you know, fits you as a person and will be able to work with you.
So we have, for me, it's more of people not really seeing my situation because they seem perceive me in a certain way. And we got from you, you know, not only an example, but also giving some information on, you don't have to stay with one particular person. You can move around if you want. And then with HEDA, you know, the cost is a big issue for you. Does anybody want to add anything else regarding mental health as a general topic? Like, once again, for me, my work at Devil Dog USA is to try to push hashtag end the stigma by bringing awareness to this. And thank you for sharing your personal experience, Warren. On a side note, as a suicide prevention counselor and a peer specialist, my goal is always to push someone, you know, listen, but also push them to seek medical help. A lot of people have a problem with that, but that's always my goal as a trained professional. You know, I'm not a doctor or a psychologist or anything like that. I'm the base foundation where you go for help. The National Suicide Hotline, if someone is in crisis at the moment, or you know someone, or if you are in a crisis or you know someone in a crisis, you should call 1-800-273-8255. For veterans, press 1. You can also dial 988. For New York City residents, you can call New York City Well. And if somebody's in an immediate emergency, dial 911. That should always be the first step. If you guys don't want to bring
it up. Well, I just want to talk a little about you know, mental health in terms of life. Just because I personally have taken mental health days, you know, just random. You know, if just things, if you just need to, quote unquote, get away from the daily to do, there's nothing wrong with just, just taking a day for yourself. I mean, I have the option of you know, days off, personal days, whatever. So, you know, you do that. I mean, I understand not everybody has that. That's your decision whether or not you can take a personal day at risk of not being paid for that day.
So that's a work thing, just to be clear.
Well, yeah, that's a work thing.
Okay.
But, yeah. And you know, I just think it's not, I mean, it's now just really these things are coming to light where it's not as considered like, well, you just can't hack it. Although, you know, the generation that's out now, you know, they're kind of soft. But, you know, just taking a day for yourself to be out of your head isn't a bad thing.
Just to give the listeners a little more context, Warren, you're in your mid years, mature years.
I'm early 50s.
Okay, and Wahida's in the mid 20s.
She's 16. She's underage. I'm not sure why she's here.
I'm in my 30s and obviously a former veteran. Wahida, do you want to add anything else besides to what Warren has said? I mean, I never heard personal days at work. That's a good topic. I'll look up later.
I mean, to rebut that, how practical is it really to take a personal day for if you're in like a fast-paced career? Imagine someone in finance, someone in law, someone that's a doctor, someone that works like as a line cook. Imagine going to your boss and be like, hey, I don't feel great. I want to take off. They'll look at you like you're crazy and be like, okay, either you show up or you don't have a job. While it is nice to think that you will be given an opportunity to take a day off, the reality is lots of professions haven't caught up. They don't care. They're like, either you do what you're told or you will be replaced within the hour. I'm exaggerating with an hour, but the point is it's a nice idealistic concept that you can have a personal day if you need it, but the reality is it's not accessible to lots of people.
I understand. You know, you don't have the luxury of sick days and personal days. For the people that do, you don't have to explain to your employer why you're taking it. That's the purpose of the day. You're just taking a day. I'm taking a sick day or I'm taking a personal day. They have no right to ask you the reasoning behind it. You can just say, this is what I'm doing. Now, for again, as I said, for people who don't have that luxury, it's up to you. You and your family, whether or not you can risk taking a day without being paid. If you can't, it doesn't, and, you know, I say sick day, personal day or mental health day, it doesn't necessarily have to be a day. Sometimes, you know, you can just step away, whether it be after work, your lunch break, yourself and just breathe. You know, you sit by yourself, hopefully you're in a place that's moderately quiet. You inhale, exhale. You keep doing that for a few minutes. And, you know, focus or not focus.
So relax.
If possible. The idea is to just get out of your head and, you know, whether it's 6 to 12 hours or 30 minutes or 10 minutes.
Yeah, one of the things I like to do is golf, read a book, go walk in the park. You like to practice your breathing?
I mean, it's a tactic. It's one way of doing it. Yeah, walking is the one way. I mean, you can, you know, walk a few blocks before you go home. Or, you know, just, yeah, sit, read the, you know, sometimes, you know, as much as people complain about people on their phones, sometimes being on your phone is a way to, you know, de-stress. I know things, I sometimes get on my phone and I find things that make me laugh.
Okay.
And, you know, laughter, you know, is a great way to de-stress.
Yeah, have you guys ever, like, sat in a car and just lost time in it?
Well, travel for me, whether I'm in a car or a bus or a train, or sometimes a plane, is a great way to, like, be out of it.
I've literally sat in my car and just wasted hours to distress and not even realize it. Oh, I guess it's music, watch videos. I don't know, just being in the car just helped a little bit. Wahida, do you want to add anything else to this topic? So I'll just throw out there again, if you're in a crisis or know someone who is, the National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255 or veterans.1, or you can dial 988 now. And I pull another topic outside the hat. The proper.
Yeah, I should tell, like, listeners that she has an actual top hat that she's pulling, like, to, you know, pieces of paper.
Oh, yeah. There you go. They can't see that. I forgot you guys can't see that. What about the next one is going to be the Pride Parade? She writes.
I could go on a whole rant on this.
Here we go.
So I am Bengali American. I am ethnically Bengali. I'm born in the States. And
what?
I recognize that I have an opportunity to see different perspectives of two different worlds. What it's like to be an American, being born and raised in the States. And I often, throughout my childhood, have gone to Bangladesh to visit family. And I got to see what their world was like. Well, in the United States, we champion gay rights. We hold parades. We have bars. We have drag bars. We have a whole entertainment system to celebrate people who have fought for these hard-earned rights. Across the globe, in the eastern side of the world, gay rights is still shamed upon, still frowned upon, still looked as a disease, as something that is abnormal, something that should be eradicated and tormented and just, like, disgusted. And I've heard instances and stories and read articles of gay couples in the eastern part of the world just being brutalized. You will hear stories of a gay couple, a lesbian couple living together. Well, they can't openly say they're a couple, they're just living together, and then people will assume and figure out that they're a couple and light them on fire. Light them on fire, beat them, shame them. They will all rally together in a fucking riot to treat these people as less than human. And when I still have not become desensitized to this, and it bothers me to such an extent that how different parts of the world can be so vastly different. Here in New York City, a gay couple could walk outside, kiss in front of people, enjoy their company, live together, have an apartment together, have a house together, adopt a kid together, live their lives to the best of their extent, to the best of their abilities. And that is not something that most people will not shame them on. In the eastern part of the world, people can't even like express physical affection out in public. So if you can't choose your sexuality, you can't choose who you're attracted to. So God forbid, like you are attracted to someone of the same sex and you want to have a relationship with them and have a fruitful life with them. You have to do this in secrecy. You have to make sure that the person you tell is someone you can trust, because you don't want this to be spread. And then if it's spread, your life is on the line. You could be murdered for just wanting to be with a person of the same sex as you. And to me, this is very, very barbaric. I read articles, I see videos, and it just pains me to see how in 2022, countries view a topic so vastly different, how one part of the world, we celebrate this annually, parades, festivities, and then another part of the world, you have to sneak around to just get a glimmer of happiness that you are entitled to. So I think gay rights deserve way more respect than it is given. And it's not just a U.S. problem. It is a global problem that needs way more attention and respect.
What are your thoughts, Aaron?
Well, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm not sure us Americans are all that well aligned. You know, we just give the LGBTQIA community a month, and then, you know, everything is like in July, it's like, you know, back to usual. I remember in the late 80s, early 90s when, gay pride, at least in my purview, when, you know, in June, when gay people were still kind of skittish about holding hands in public. And, you know, that changed as years passed. Still have a long ways to go. And my whole thing is like, you know, okay, for whatever reason you don't understand that these two people love each other, how about you just respect it? That is another human being that, you know, may or may not be related to, even if they're not. That's just another human being that just wants to live their life and just, you know, experience the things that anyone experiences. Just, you know, and, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, if your coworker is gay, who cares? Coworker is trans. That's who they are. You know, there's nothing wrong. You know, people like to point fingers and, you know, make accusations and, like, you know, but, you know, we'll never turn the mirror at themselves.
I mean, you use the powerful word respect. So, I mean, whatever you're privy to it, the key word is you can at least respect it.
I mean, for whatever reason, if you don't understand it, right. But, you know, respect who these people are and, you know, how they live their lives. I mean, you know, no one's doing anything to you. You're not, you know, your rights aren't being violated by, you know, a gay person being 10 feet away from you or a trans person being, you know, in the next room. It's not affecting you at all. So why do you care?
And it's not just a U.S. problem, it's a world problem. I mean, for me, my most trivial view on it that has come up recently is movies. You know, I'm a big movie buff, and I just recently found that in the last couple months, maybe even the last 2 years, there's a lot of movies that aren't played across the world because they have homosexual innuendos.
And
I was like, so you're telling me, let's say an example, Buzz Lightyear, cartoon movie, isn't played on the eastern side of country or the world because it has a small section of a gay couple. Cartoons, two women. I mean, nothing crazy. There's no sex scenes. There's no nothing. You know, just the implication that they were together was enough. I mean, on a work topic for myself, you know, we do our best to try to give knowledge regarding the don't ask, don't tell policy. I don't know if you guys know, but in the military, you can be gay and serve in the military before. Since they revealed that, you know, we've made leaps and bounds. You know, we have transgenders in the military, you know, and all different spectrums of the situation now. But in the last couple of years, it's dulled down, getting the knowledge out there, letting people know that, you know, what might have happened while you were in the military. Like, it was so severe in the military that you could have been kicked out of the military, lost pay, got in trouble. And those guys and those individuals deserve their discharge upgraded and, you know, even benefits that they might have lost out because of them getting kicked out just because they were homosexual. I can't believe it happened that severely, and I did see it while in the military. But I would say that in my generation while in the military, although it was frowned upon, I didn't see a lot of people getting in trouble for it. Like, when I saw people getting in trouble, it was for, let me say, a guy who wore an earring in public. Now, for the general population, it's nothing. But from that time where I was in, it was. Leaps and bounds have been done, and that's where we are now. If anybody wants to chime in on anything else, I think we're going to end this program soon.
I just think we as people just need to
have more fucking empathy. Be more compassionate. Care about people. Don't be a freaking dick to people just for the sake that they don't believe your ideologies and concepts and ideas. You don't need to shame another person because they live a life that's different than yours. You should be able to embrace all of our differences and still be able to respect another person even though they live a life different from ours. Don't need to be a homogenous society where everyone does the same thing. We're all made up of different cultures, backgrounds, ethnicities. Let's celebrate it.
And that's why I was going to say.
I want to thank you guys for joining me today. For the listeners, once again, I want to thank the Mount Nebo Grand Lodge Community Foundation and the Preacher Nation Radio for giving us this opportunity. This is Sergeant Gonzalo Duran with Vet Talk Open Discussion. We will have our next one in a couple weeks. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Later.